Hi there, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is the show where we talk about the Akashic Records and how you can heal your life through the Akashic Records, as well as how the Akashic Records can be used in every area of your life, every time, in every space, and every situation, pretty much. And tonight we have a special comment coming up. We already have a caller on the line, but I'd like to introduce my guest. This past weekend, we had a level two here in Cleveland. And level two of Akashic Records workshops is where you learn how to read other people's records, the records of the land, and animals. Level one is where you learn how to read your own Akashic Records. But this was quite a unique class, and some very profound things came from it. So my guest tonight is Nikki Lopresti. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hello, listeners.
Hi there. Nikki's been on the show with me before, and we're going to get to the caller, so just be patient, caller. We'll be with you in just a moment. But
thank
we just
you.
Want to kind of lay this out here, okay, of what we came up with. So we were on the topic of releasing self-judgment for self-love and the misplaced aspect of self-love. And what was going on is, you know what, Nikki, since I brought forth the information, you tell them what you heard, because sometimes it's hard for me to recreate this, and I'll move off of that, okay?
Okay, do we want to do that now before the caller?
Well, actually, maybe we'll hold off. Okay, we'll just hear what the caller has to say. It could be right in line with what we're talking about.
It
so,
might
hi,
be.
Caller.
You never know.
Yeah. Hi, caller.
Hi.
And where are you calling from?
Seattle.
And your name?
Addison.
I'm sorry?
Addison.
Oh, Addison. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
Good. How can we help you tonight?
I'm just calling in to get some, I've been single for almost 20 years, and I would met someone in September that's very silent. However, I'm just don't feel like being single anymore. I don't know, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a strange thing. The person that I met was really wonderful, but I think maybe it probably scared him because there was such a charge between us, just very comfortable. So anyhow, scared me too, but I am pretty tired of being single. I know that. So
you said that the person you met is now being silent?
Well, he's not communicating, I'm sorry, or we don't have any communication. So
how long has that been?
Since November, actually, kind of November, early December.
Okay. So are you taking that as if the relationship is gone?
I don't believe it was a relationship. I think it started out that we were really attracted to each other, and we went out on a couple of dates, but after the few dates, I think I just think he was very frightened because we were really comfortable together.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. I don't know.
And so what is have you listened to the show before, Addison?
No, it's my first time.
Okay. All right. So, let me just kind of fill you in. What is your actual question?
I just want to know if you see or feel any relationship things coming up that are positive within, I don't know, the month or week or...
Well, first of all, let me just kind of give you the outline. Is with this show, with the Akashic Records, we don't necessarily do futures. We help you understand what's happening in the here and now.
Oh, okay.
There's so many choices in the. You know, I don't consider myself a psychic, and Nikki, who is on the program with me, she's a student of mine as well, and as well as a friend. And she, so we don't necessarily do futures, but we help people understand what their core issues are and what's happening in the here and now. And once they understand that, then they can go about changing their now, which will then create their future. Does that make sense to you?
Sure, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought it was a voice vibration type reading. I'm sorry.
A voice vibration?
reading.
I think it's a different show that you're looking for.
Oh, okay.
You know, but you know, you called us for a reason. So,
yeah.
I mean, let's just go on with this. What I'd like to ask you is, are you interested? You know, you say you've been single for 20 years.
Yeah.
And was the when you weren't single, was that, and then you became single, was that a divorce or was that
a divorce? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the relationships that you have not had, there was like, let me just tell you, Nikki, I think this is very interesting. One of the things that goes along with being without a partner has a lot to do with our own personal self-love. Would you agree with that, Addison?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you suspect that I have to wait for a minute because when I do this show, the record keepers come forward, and I have to wait for them to talk to me. So, one of the things that's interesting here is we as women model our lives either the way that we liked the way our mothers lived or the way that we didn't like the way our mothers lived.
Okay.
And what's interesting is during the workshop that we had over this past weekend, what we came up with and what we began to understand is that part of our personal lack of self-love is coming from a place of not forgiving ourselves or our mothers, basically our mothers, for modeling the aspect of not loving herself. So it's like if we love ourselves too much, it's like we're betraying our mothers. So the point of this conversation here is that you're tired of being single, you're tired of being alone. And what I'd like to ask you to take a look at is in what way does that situation parallel your feeling of emotional abandonment from your mother?
I don't know. Okay.
Is that too deep for you?
No, I'm just listening, taking in what you're saying.
Yeah. See what happens is when we operate from a place of, and what I'm getting is when we operate from a place of lack, we hold various energies around us and within us. And those energies either attract or deflect what we truly want. Those energies are based on our underlying belief systems. And the underlying belief systems are created by the authority figures and the way we're brought up. And one of the things that we look at or we feel is if our first relationship, about whether it was a loving and nurturing relationship with our mother. And this might sound like psychobabble, and that's not what this is about. This is about soul information and choices that our soul made for
Right.
experiences when we came on the planet.
Right.
Nikki, do you have something to add here?
I'm just wondering if, instead of going back to that point, I just was wondering if Addison was willing to answer how she was feeling about herself when her divorce ended.
There you go.
Oh, fine. Yeah, I had already decided to get divorced, actually, prior to that moment. So, yeah. It was just a feeling that arrived that I'd been contemplating because I didn't feel comfortable and I didn't want my children to be in the environment, so, yeah.
What's your relationship like with your kids now?
Oh, wonderful.
Great. And what is your relationship like with your mom?
It's good. I didn't grow up with my mom, so it's good. It's not too shabby.
Who did you grow up with?
Another person, but I don't want to discuss that portion of it.
That's okay. You don't have to go there. That's, you know, clearly what we're trying to say is that you may want to listen to the program from a place of with a notepad, because Okay. Many times what happens is we can shift our whole life experience by understanding what the core issue is around loving ourselves.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
And so many times, and so that may have to do with this, you know.
I'm also getting down, if I can interject.
Sure.
Allison, you said it's been this long that you haven't had a relationship. Have you clearly identified for yourself what exactly the qualities you are looking for in a relationship or in a partner?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have the list. I have the list.
Okay.
So I just did up my, I have the list, and yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm also getting, I'm wondering, is there something about anything on your list that you're somewhere, maybe unconsciously, or you might need to look at underneath, for whatever reason, that you feel that you wouldn't deserve a partner with those qualities?
No. I'm still fairly shocked that I met the gentleman in September, because I was beginning to wonder if there was any such person, but there is. So, yeah, just really
shocked. And you haven't heard from him since November, right?
No, just here and there, but not, you know, conversation or.
But you feel that this person did meet a lot of those qualities?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, beyond.
Okay.
And also, he just kind of ended another relationship just last year, so I don't think it's a good time for him.
Okay, so what I'm getting about that is that how you just said, too, like he met some of those qualities and beyond, that this was kind of a confirmation to you as you had already, like, done the work of making up the list.
Sure.
Of stuff you wanted, that it is possible for this person, like that someone, like you're saying, that someone was out there, that this could show up. So if you could be of the mind that it's possible, because it showed up once, it could show up again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Like, not to limit it, like, and that often happens, not necessarily in, maybe in your case, but in people with, like, divorce or other things like that, thinking that when a relationship ends, that you'll never find a replacement for that, that no one else will take that place or no one else will be able to love you or, you know, you won't find that connection.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That you're saying that this did show up in your life, so that to mm-hmm. honor that did, like, you already did attract that once, so hold that you can attract that again.
Yeah. I believe that is. Hoping that this would turn around in some time, so I don't know. Probably. Just based on the timing of it. Because everybody needs some time to heal, so.
Right, but the other thing is that in the last 20 years, how many relationships have you had?
I haven't had any. Yeah, I haven't had any. So, too busy.
We just had some technical difficulties, so I didn't mean to not just stop in the conversation here. But we're trying to get so that our voices are even.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. But the issue here is that in your life, what have you, there was like, there seems to be some kind of a block here, and I don't have your last name, I'm not opening your records right now, but this is coming from a place of universal knowledge, just to help you understand that there's more to, that what you thought, there was an illusion here with this relationship that you thought was there, and it wasn't about you so much as it was there was an illusion there that could not be fulfilled.
Oh, do you mean the marriage?
No, I'm talking about with this guy that you just met.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I just think the timing was off just because, you know, he himself was having a rough time.
Right, but you have to understand is that even though you think that he met all your criteria, the reality of that, what I'm getting, is that was an illusion.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that what he, and so it wasn't, obviously it wasn't a match because it didn't go anywhere.
Right.
So just let me bring us to some closure on this for a moment. One of the things that's going to be important, Addison, as you're working through attracting the love that you truly want. Again, they're going back to the idea of moving into a place of loving you enough to be able to feel, not just, it's not about feeling worthy, because that automatically happens when you begin to move in a space of love.
Oh.
And there's a softness that you have within you that needs to be able to be expanded and come out more. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I think so. Yeah, I've just created a vision board, so it's pretty in the relationship corner of my room. So, because I'm reading the book Soulmate, and that's very helpful, and I've done the sage and what have you. So, hopefully, that'll be a little bit more encouraging.
And it's also about you moving into your own energy of love and acceptance.
Okay.
That's going to be real important.
Great.
Okay?
Sure.
All righty.
Donna, you might want to take a moment to, since Addison, this is her first time listening, and you
yes.
might want to take a moment to explain to her and to any other first-time listeners what other depth of information you could receive if you had her full name and how the records are opened, because I don't think that was discussed at the beginning of the show, and then Addison could maybe decide to actually maybe have a full consultation if she understood how that happened.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Nikki.
So
the idea here is that your full legal name and your questions that get us to the right area of the records.
Okay.
I open up the Akashic records with a holy prayer.
Okay.
And it's a sacred prayer. It's a specific sacred prayer. And the prayer itself is a vibrational key. And it shifts the energy to make the information accessible.
Oh.
So when a person has a consultation, the consultation is based 100% on their questions. And you can easily email me, and I'll be glad to send you some information. And you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And what that email will help you understand is the phraseology that's beneficial for a good consultation. So, for example, open-ended questions and questions about the here and now, or questions about patterns. So, for example, if you the way to, when we're talking about relationships, one of the questions that many people ask is how can I attract and maintain a healthy, loving relationship? And so that question is, or what action steps do I need to take to create a healthy, loving relationship? And is there anything blocking that relationship from coming forward? If so, what is it? And what action steps can I take to neutralize those blocks or release those blocks?
Okay.
So there's a depth of information that a person can find, because it's your soul information. It's about learning how to communicate with your soul.
Right.
And so that is easily done when we have your current legal name. So what many people do prior to the show is they will email their questions to me, and they will include their current legal name so that I have a reference point so that when I'm working with the records, I can see their name, you know, in front of me, and then I can answer their question a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know.
Of course not. But I'm so glad you called. But if you would like more information, please do email me, and then you can, if you want to email me your current legal name, you know, for next week or something, you certainly can do that too.
Okay, it's info. Do you say the full legal name on the air? Or?
No, I don't. No, I would just use your first name.
Oh, good. Okay.
So oh, no, Akash, your privacy is protected.
Akash, A-K-A-S-H-I-K?
No, let me spell it for you. But that's a good try. It's
yeah.
A-K-A-S-H-I-C.
Okay.
W-I-S-D-O-M.
Okay. That's .com. Okay. And what is the website for the radio, please?
Say again.
CBSRadio.com. CBSRadio.com.
Oh, PBS?
No. B as in boy, S. BBSRadio.com.
Oh. BBS, okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay, I really appreciate it.
Great, I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. So, Nikki, back to what we were talking about. And hopefully Addison will listen some more and she'll understand a little bit more about how we do it. And and if there's any other questions that you have out there, any listeners, you can certainly give us a call and talk to us about what we're talking about or your own question or whatever. But do email your current legal name so I have a reference for that, okay? So if you're calling in, let me give you the phone numbers to call, because sometimes when we have streaming video, you don't know, you're listening, but you don't know how to call in. And the telephone numbers to call here at BBS Radio, if you're in the U.S., where did I put my phone numbers? Nikki, do you have those phone numbers? Why do I have them?
Not in front of me, but...
Not in front of... Wow, I just had them. Okay. Well, I will get them for you. That's funny.
I'll get them.
Yeah, Nikki will get
for
them.
You.
So what
Give
happens
a
is... That's so weird. I literally just had them in my book. Okay, I'm not going to worry about it right now. So, talking... This has been a very, very strange day, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to tell you, it's been a day of revelation and deep information, and I can't thank enough the folks who were participating in that workshop. We had a gal that came from Minneapolis, and she was a delight, and we had some other people from Cleveland. So just want to say hi and thank you for showing up.
Okay, and if you would like to call the show, if there are any callers that do want to call in, reach Donna. The toll-free number is 888-815-9756. And that's worldwide number. And then another number you can reach if you're calling within the United States, 530-876-3222.
There you go.
Or another line, 530-876-9916.
Okay.
Okay.
We are good. We are good to go. All righty. And if you'd like to call me privately off the air after the show, it's 216-691-1233. Okay, let's get back to what we were talking about, Nikki. So bring these people up to date.
Okay, well, going off of part of what was brought up in the call, we were talking about often not being able to be present or in a relationship could be because of lack of self-love. And that often this lack of self-love is actually, as it turns out, having been a pattern that a lot of people have subconsciously taken on from childhood, from a pattern from their mother, who, if having a mother who was not able, not loving of herself, was not a model of this, then she was not able to teach you about self-love or be a model for that. And so, so the cycle just kind of repeats itself, and then it also makes it so much harder for someone to actually practice self-love or even to recognize what that is.
Absolutely. So, but the other thing that we were talking about is also the fear of betraying your mother.
Well, right. Then why that often gets where we were going with this and as it came up that Donna brought forth from the record keepers is that it often is so hard for many people to clear and to really get at this self-love issue is because what really has to be released is this fear of betraying your mother, betraying your mother's love by just loving yourself, because you would be doing something that she's not capable of doing. So, and also to release and forgive her for teaching you and for being a model of not loving yourself.
Right. So, go ahead.
Then there was also an issue that came up that also ties into this, a component of about how this abandonment of it somewhat presents itself in abandonment issues, abandonment of mother's love, and then it turns into lack of self-love, and then often this lack of self-love actually leads someone to, you abandon your true self then, because our true nature is to be loving and to love ourselves and to love others. And so when you're not aware of that, you are actually abandoning your true self. And so it's the issue then is looking at how we can look at how we are not being truthful to ourselves, how we are abandoning ourselves, how we are not being in integrity or lying to ourselves. And once we could heal that, then this moves us into self-love just automatically.
Right. One of the things that we are also came forward in the class is that we have many relationships that we have been telling ourselves stories about, and actually not telling ourselves the truth, not only about the relationships, but also not telling ourselves the truth about how we feel about the relationships and where the relationships are going. So one of the things that came forward is that it's really time to do an inventory of the relationships we have to see which ones are toxic, which ones are healthy, which ones we want to keep, and which ones it's really time that we have outgrown, that we let go. And that process can be one that can be not only freeing, but sometimes it can also be daunting and scary. So the piece here is to step enough into your power to begin to be honest with yourself, that in a way that doesn't create a lot of negative self-talk, but creates awareness. Do you have any comments on that, Nikki?
Well, how what would the record keeper's comment about that is about if someone is in a pattern already of having a lot of negative self-talk, or not even valuing their judgment or being truthful about being truthful to themselves, how do they get to that awareness? How would they go about looking at or evaluating these relationships in their life that maybe it might be time to let go of?
That's a good question. So the record keepers are encouraging us to take a look at the relationships we have that not just make us feel joyful, but that make us feel even. One of the things that is important about a healthy relationship is one where you don't necessarily quote-unquote need the other person to fulfill your life, but you just want to be around them because it feels good to be around them. So it's and I said this before, it's like instead of creating a teepee with each other where you're both leaning on each other, you're two parallel lines that walk together, so that you don't really need the other person, but you want to be with them because it feels so good. Many times people have the idea that being in love means needing the other person. And so they put a great burden on the other person that they, quote-unquote, must be needed. which creates a lot of guilt. And so part of this is really looking at the relationships and that where you feel overburdened in either being needed or you are feeling unbalanced. It's an unbalanced feeling of being needed as well as or an unbalanced feeling of being of needing. And so the idea here is what relationships help you feel quote-unquote even. And then because when things are not balanced, that creates what I'm hearing is the feeling of guilt of one way or another, either or anger, because you want somebody to be some way that they're not. So the idea is when a person is doing a personal inventory around their relationships, they really need to look at the ones that actually make them feel good. And for the ones that don't make them feel good, you need to look at who is really holding your power.
And what do they mean by that? Look at who's really holding your power.
Well, when you're in a relationship and you don't feel empowered by the other person, when you don't feel that you can be yourself, tell the truth, talk about how you really feel, then you're not being true to yourself. When you're in a relationship where you feel taken advantage of, or you feel manipulated, that's an unbalanced relationship. So if you're in a situation where you feel that you are being quote unquote manipulated, you've given your power away. So a clue on that was you're doing things because you think you should be doing them, not because you want to. You're doing things because you have to do them, not because you want to. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it would get, so it's always coming back to, again, of getting clear what you want and don't want in a relationship.
And from yourself.
Right.
What you are and are not willing to give in a relationship. See, the other thing is you have to understand or take a look at the kind of patterning or the behavior that you saw your mother treat your father with or just treat other people with. Many times, you know, we watch our mothers become suffering martyrs, and we assume as children that that's the way you're supposed to be. And then when we do it and it doesn't feel good, we're not quite sure what we learned, but it becomes such a pattern, and we learned it from someone that we thought knew what they were doing, so we go on that same path, and all of a sudden it's not working for us, and we don't know how to get out of it. And that's where the betrayal of the mother comes. Part of it, anyway. Can you see that?
Right, and often some underlying anger.
Big-time anger. Yeah, big-time anger, because what happens is I believed you. You know, I thought you were teaching me how to live, and your way doesn't work.
Right, but that's the only way you know. That's the only
right,
way you've known. Right.
Say again?
I'm agreeing with you. That's the only way that was your model. So,
right.
You have to acquire a new one.
Well, yeah, and there was like, I know that there's a lot of people out there, myself included. I mean, my mother was one of my greatest teachers in a lot of different ways, and not all of them were positive. You know, I love my mother a lot, but she taught me a lot about how I don't want to be. But I didn't realize that until I got older. Now, my mom was a real spiritual lady. If you listen to the program, you know that I have a spiritual wellness center that I've named Nana's House. and be, to honor her, but that, you know, we're all flawed. We're not perfect beings here. We're here to really experience different things and different environments and different thought processes. And so the idea here of this, well, the flawed mother aspect is very important. You know, what just flashed, just a moment as I was saying that, what just also flashed was we had talked about earlier about the story of Adam and Eve and then how that plays into the way we treat Mother Earth. You know, we call Mother Earth Mother Earth. It's the feminine. It's Mother Earth, Father
mm-hmm.
Sky.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about it is, look at what we're doing to the earth that we've named the mother.
Well, that was part of the question that I was wanting to get at, that we touched on, I think, on another program a long time ago, I remember, but I was wondering if the record keepers could speak to about what is this like on a humanity level with, if you have Mother Earth who has her children who are not loving themselves, how does that affect Mother Earth?
Okay, so let me just tune in. Again, I don't really have to tune in, I just have to wait. Well, one of the things that the Record Keepers are saying is that when the human beings who are Mother Earth's children don't love themselves, it not only hurts the mother, but it also comes forward in a way that, because the individual doesn't value themselves, they end up treating their mother in a way that's less than loving as well, which is what we're doing to the earth. So what happens is that our lack of self-love, we take out on not only the people around us, as well as ourselves, as well as the planet, by not caring enough to be, it's basically like we're taking her for granted. Like, she'll always be there. You know, the idea here is that one of the manipulative statements that mothers will say to children is, "You'll be sorry when I'm gone." And that makes the child extremely angry. I mean, because usually they say it to an adult child. Because if you say it to a younger child, it just scares them. But the idea, and which happens all the time, but the idea is that Mother Earth doesn't say that to us, "You'll be sorry when I'm gone." But that's what's going to be happening. So the cycle of humanity as a species coming forward in a place of darkness within themselves, they need to shine the light within themselves so that they can value themselves, because when a person truly values themselves, they do not allow anything but light and love around them. They move away from anything that's darkness. They move away from anything that's detrimental to them. And we're all in a process of discovering that. We're at different areas or different, I don't want to call it levels, but at different stages, if you will, of learning about loving ourselves. I mean, this is not from an egotistical of one's better than the other. It's different stages of understanding. But every step a person can take that moves more into honoring yourself and loving, and again, we're not talking, ladies and gentlemen, about loving yourself necessarily from an egotistical point of view, from a conceited point of view. We're talking about an honoring point of view of not allowing yourself to be anything else but loved. So that the comment from the Record Keepers is, "I choose to love myself enough to allow myself to be loved even by myself." So, and when we love, we naturally love and care for those around us at the highest level. That includes Mother Earth. So, you know, by the way, folks, we would love to have your comments on this. So if you want to give us a call, let's give you those numbers again. Okay?
Okay, you can call it 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222 if you have any comment on the discussion thus far.
Yeah, and or you can email. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Donna.
I was going to say, or you can email questions at to info. I've got my computer on. It's ready for you. It's info, I-N-F-O, at AkashicWisdom.com. Akashic Wisdom is just the same as the show. AkashicWisdom.com. Yeah, because, you know, many times people don't call in because they just want to hear what we have to say, but the reality is the more people call in, the more juicy it gets, you know. So, what was right. that poem that you read earlier today by Shel Silverstein? I love that poem.
I do, too. It's one of my favorites.
Okay.
I can find it. It's from...
I've got it right in front of me.
So the listeners know it's from the book, and Shel Silverstein has passed on now, so, but he's a wonderful author, and it's from Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Ah, okay. I'm going to say it, okay? But hold on for a minute, caller. I just want to read this poem, and then we'll take yours. I'm so glad you called. Just hold on for a minute. So the poem that Nikki found, and she's talking about, goes like this. Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to the shouldn'ts, the impossibles, the won'ts. Listen to the never-haves, then listen close to me. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be. And so the whole piece of what we're talking about here is anything is possible for us. As a species, as an individual, anything. But the most important anything we're talking about is learning and moving into a space of loving oneself, which is actually honoring oneself. So I'd like you to just think about that. Hi, caller. How are you?
Oh, hello. This is Noella from Canada.
Oh,
hi.
I'm sorry. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
Have you called before?
A long time ago. Usually at the end of the show. Yes. I called a while ago, but it was at the end of the show. But I was just listening to your discussion and about love and loving yourself. And
yes.
I agree with you. You definitely have to love yourself and know yourself before even going into a relationship. But most of us just go through with the attraction and then just pop into it and hope for the best. And that's kind of going in blind. And well, I guess for my self-discovery that all is an illusion anyways, and the illusion of not being loved and separated, once you realize that you're part of all of it, then that helped me towards self-love. Not depending on a mother or a father or a brother or sister, but just realizing we're all the same. There's only one of us here experiencing life.
And so how did your life change when you came to that?
Well, I've been separated for 3 years, and I've done a lot of soul-searching in that time. And I'm really good friends with my ex. He's the father of my child. And everybody's like, what's going on? You're the most amicable separation I've ever seen. And I said, well, I love myself enough to let that person go and have him love himself enough to discover himself and give him hope and forgiveness and compassion, because I understand where they were coming from, but it wasn't working out for me. And what that was after 20 years, okay? So,
wow,
it wasn't just a short term. But it was a good thing, because he was my best teacher. And because of that, I thanked him. And I came to that point in my life that everybody in our lives, it's like God is talking to us through everyone. And when I look in people's eyes now, that's what I see. So whatever happens, there is no limitations. And love is the energy, and it's the strongest energy there. And then through that, the healing comes, and you let it go. And you just
and
let
so
it
what
possible.
Kind of work did you do to get to that point, Joelle?
I kept a lot of meditating on the I am that I am.
Uh-huh.
Separating my mind and going to my heart. Trying to listen to a higher self. You know, I had a near-death, not like a near-death experience where I died and came, but I had an intervention when I was in my 20s, and I've had a couple of them. So that opened my mind to, I knew that there were things outside of this box that people were teaching us. And that once I discovered that, and I did a lot of research and reading, and just what resonated with me, you know, I wasn't trying to preach to anybody else. It was just my own journey.
Right.
And through that journey, I can look through relationships now, like at my mother, who at one time I did resent, because we had a kind of a volatile father, and I saw her as weak, but really now I understand that was the role. And I appreciate her so much now. And through her strong silence, instead of seeing it as a weakness, I saw it as strength. You know, it's sort of like I had everything backwards, and now I'm working the other way, and it all makes sense.
And
no
did you
judgment.
Say you had? Did you have that? You have kids?
Sorry,
I'm sorry. Did you say you had a child?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like when we were children, my dad was abusive. So you kind of blame it on your mother because she's not stepping in. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
She does have a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my child part was saying, "This is crazy. Why is everybody putting up with this?" You know, I was that kind of child. I questioned everything, drove everyone crazy. But I left home quite early. I left at 17, and through that, I opened up. I don't know. I've had a lot of metaphysical stuff since I was young too. So. I guess I was directed, but then, you know, your human self gets in there and you start feeling sorry for yourself and all that stuff with the ego. And basically I had to put my ego on the side, not kill it, but just say it's my, I'm awake now, I'm taking control, thank you very much for getting me this far. And basically, I guess I'm just going one step before the other lady where, yes, we are love. And we can't forget that. How can we not be love? We are love. We're loving spiritual beings. And once you know that, I don't know. I just think, like, giving out love brings it back. And
so how did you have children, right? Or you have a child?
I have one. Yes, one. She's 20
how old
now.
Is that child?
She's 20.
And so how has she been affected by your new way of thinking?
Oh, she's so much more positive and loving. Before, she was doing the same thing I was doing when I was a young child. Mom, what are you doing in this situation? My ex was bipolar. So we went through a lot of ups and downs with that. And and then I said to her, you know, you have every right to ask me that because I see my mother in myself. But the difference is that I recognized it and I stopped it, you know. I said, no, I love myself too much to accept this anymore. I cannot help this person. They have to help themselves. And being a part of it and pushing the responsibility back to them helped me a lot in freeing that sort of circle. You know, like you sort of go on the same circle.
Yes.
Like track. Sort of like I just skipped a track and said, no, that track's not working for me anymore, and I'm going to find another one. I don't have to stay there. And, well, that's my two cents anyway.
Well, that's great.
I appreciate you listening, and
that's
wonderful.
Enjoying
the show. Yeah,
and
thank you very
much. Do you listen every week or what?
Pretty well. I'm not, because I'm from the East Coast, so it's almost midnight now. So
yes, I know.
And if I'm working
on
Monday,
let me ask you this. I want to ask you a question.
Usually.
But I'm
not
working
tomorrow.
If the show was on an hour earlier, would you listen more often?
Oh, probably, but I mean, don't do that to my account.
No, I'm just trying to do a survey, you know? Just try to understand.
Oh, yeah. Well, to be honest, I don't sleep very well, so I'm up and down anyway, so
okay.
If it happens that way, I'm wide awake now, so I'm listening.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Don, could I make a comment? I just wanted to put in that there was something that occurred before we got off the topic of our discussion before, that I think that this that Joelle, thank you for calling in and giving really of an example how somebody can really become aware in their life by taking a look at the patterns going on and recognizing things, and that for the listeners to recognize that with the records work and what we were discussing, we're not in any way like placing blame on a parent or on our mother, but it's just about being aware of the pattern and actually how Joelle was saying about appreciating what that was showing you, if only in some ways that these situations that we are put in our life, that we choose to come into the certain families, that it gives us not only a learning and development for our soul, but also puts us in sometimes situations so we can learn from of situations we don't want, and a reference as to like what we don't want to repeat. And I think that Joelle really spoke about that.
Yeah, that's very true. We are not talking about blaming your mom or your dad or anybody. This is not about blame. This is about awareness. This is about awareness of the lessons that the people around us can teach us. And again, it's like what I said before with my mom. What she taught me a lot about how I don't want to be. And so if we can take what our observations are and turn them into a gift and realize that everybody has their own path. And, you know, if you come from a metaphysical point of view and you realize that you chose your parents anyway, it's really about if you go along with that program, the idea that you chose your parents, then it's really important for you to take a look at what lessons they're teaching you and what awareness you can have with that. And this is, again, not about blame, because when you play the blame game, you're just being a victim anyway. So this is not about being a victim or saying, poor me. This is about saying, wow, this is the way I'm acting. I realize that I have patterns that are similar to the way my mother worked or the way I learned, and the patterns no longer serve me. And I have to be able to move into a different groove, create a different groove, a different place for me to operate from. It's like we were talking about, whose opinion are we operating under? Mm-hmm. And so that's what this is all about.
Right.
Excellent observation. Thank you, Nikki.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so the idea here is that you know, we've only got like 5 more minutes left of the show, but you know, these conversations are so important, and everybody who calls in or emails, you know, it's so important to have these kinds of interactions. And so happy you were on the show tonight, Nikki. I'd love to have you know, you're welcome to come on anytime you like. In fact, why don't you give people your contact information if they, you know, because Nikki does consultations the same way I do. So why don't you just real quick give your contact information. We'll take this last caller.
Okay. If you'd like to reach me, my phone number is 216-374-2906, and my email is hinikkilo, which is HINIKKILO, hinikkilo@yahoo.com.
Great. Thank you. Okay. We have a caller on the line.
Hi, Don.
Hello?
Calling from
San Diego. Oh, I can't hardly hear you.
Yes, now we can.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hi, Donna, it's Melody calling from San Diego.
Hi, Melody, how are you?
I'm great. I was just thinking about the situation that I have with my sister and my mother, and this is very important to me to find out how I've always been the mediator between the two of them, and my sister has turned into my mother. And my grandfather was very abusive, and my mother was quite abusive to my sister. Now my sister is very abusive to me and my brother. And so what I'd like you to speak about is how we can turn this around. What can I do? I mean, I try to be nice to her. I try to be sweet to her. She doesn't want to hear anything that I have to say when I'm trying to calm her down. Where do I go, and how much of this am I supposed to be doing, or am I just here just to keep things kind of mellow?
Well, first of all, if you don't like the way she's treating you and she won't stop, why is she in your life?
Well, I've often wondered, you know, what is that my purpose for being here?
What is what your purpose?
In this relationship to, what is my purpose in this relationship with my sister? Why did I come into this family to be there with her?
Well, I tell you, Melody, here's our challenge. We have three more minutes of the show.
Right.
And the kinds of questions you're asking are very important. But I would need her full legal name. And so what I'm going to suggest is you call me offline so we can do a consultation, because that's what this is going to take.
Yeah, I understand that. But for tonight, the things that you've said have made me realize that just being here for somebody who like my sister, who has this abusive relationship with my mother, and trying to be a cushion for the two of them might also be an important position in life.
Does it feel good?
No.
Then don't do it.
Right. Ultimately, the question is to start with, I think, for a consultation or for you to consider before you would have a consultation, is really why would you want to feel mistreated in any relationship you're having?
In this particular situation, it's where I've been all my life, since the day I was born, since I was conceived. So that's, you know, that's where I've been, and so that's...
Well, and that would go into the statement that I emailed Donna that was...
Hello?
...from the record keepers. I will no longer allow my past to dictate my now and create my future.
Yeah. That's you may want to meditate that on that, Melody.
Okay.
You know that statement?
I didn't hear it. I was cut off. So Donna, I will give you a call. I know we're out of time here, so I will give you a call this week.
Okay, great. All right, Melody. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay. And so for those people who would like to call me this week, you can call me at 216-691-1233. We are out of time. And let's just say, I want to just say that Akashicism one more time.
Yes, go ahead.
I will no longer allow my past to dictate my now and create my future. That is something that needs to be your mantra, everyone out there, and it's clearly going to be mine. So I thank the record keepers for giving us this wisdom. Thank you, Nikki, for being on the show. And,
thank you, Donna. Thank you, listeners.
Yes. So I'm going to close the records now of the show, and we'll be back next week. And if, Nikki, you want to be on next week, I'd love to have you. keep those cards and letters coming in. Call and email for your questions. But for now, we're going to close the records of the show. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. With all those listening, may your hearts be opened, your burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records and say amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed, and if you'll all join me by saying amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone. Have a miracle-filled week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.